Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode number 263. And as always, we are brought to you by Amazon. If you go over to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, anything you purchase off of that link will kind of give us a little portion of that. Doesn't cost you anything, but helps us run the podcast, keep the site going, and just gives us a little off the top there. So really helps us out. Looks like we've already got DM in the chat saying greetings. What's up, DM? That's actually Derek. He's usually hanging out here. So what's up, Derek? What's up, Bob? Bob's here too. Co-host Bob
didn't even introduce me to the podcast.
Chat, gotta keep the audience going.
Yeah, I can get into this thing. Watch a movie or something. I mean,
there's movies that have come out that I'm kind of interested in seeing, or my kids are interested in seeing anyway. So
Coming to America was very bad.
It wasn't any good. Okay.
There were parts that were funny, but the whole movie itself was not. I just thought it was like very dumb. Like, again, like remakes or whatever are never as good as the original. And I didn't expect it to be as good as the original. But I really like Eddie Murphy. I think he's one of the funniest people. But it just was not good. It was actually hard to watch. It was just not very.
Okay.
I have seen worse movies, put it that way. So I have seen worse movies, but it was not very good in my opinion. I was really pumped for it. I was like really excited because the first one again it's great, a really good movie. This is just like, I don't know. But Derek, in the chat, he shortened his YouTube name, but he was a winner of our live giveaway last week. Won his gift card and he was very happy to get his Amazon gift card. So no live giveaway this week, but we do have a giveaway going on the site, which we will obviously tell you about. We are a tech podcast. Thanks everybody who's tuning in live, or if you're listening later, we obviously appreciate that as well. But let's jump into reviews this week in two very interesting products. One that I was very, very blown away with. Like, after reviewing so many products, you're kind of just like, yeah, this is going to be a mouse. This is going to be a keyboard. Unless it's something that like, I just have like okay expectations basically for everything. I go into everything with just 50-50.
And that's kind of like what you expect with most products. You're like, okay, this is, like you said, a mouse. It's going to do these things. It's probably going to have these features. And unless there's something totally crazy with it, right? Some sort of something we've never seen or something that really makes it stand out, it's a pretty standard process. So
So the product that I'm talking about is it's the Razer Viper Ultimate Wireless Gaming Mouse. So this is their take on a wireless gaming mouse. It uses their own dongle. They call it hyperspeed wireless technology, 2.4 gigahertz. So you're not going to have any lag. That's the biggest thing when you go from wired to wireless, is that if there's lag, input lag, especially if you're a serious gamer, it's just not going to work. So you have that with this. So that kind of solves that problem, obviously. But the one thing that I really, really liked about this mouse is just how light it is. It's only 74 grams, which
is pretty awesome for a wireless mouse that has a battery inside of it.
Yeah, for wireless mouse, 74 grams is very, very impressive. The Corsair Qatar Pro Wireless or whatever, it was smaller than this and it was heavier, and it felt a lot cheaper as well. But it's just such a small mouse. And the thing is like you can tell that Razer basically was like, we're building this for performance. There's no crazy. I mean, there is some lighting on it, but not really. It looks like, I mean, if you look at it, it just looks like this.
Pretty unassuming,
pretty unassuming mouse. You know, it's made for performance, and that's what you want. You can have the coolest looking mouse, but if it doesn't perform well, nobody's going to use it, obviously. One thing that I was impressed with, too, is the thing I didn't like about Corsair's Qatar Pro Wireless, it's Qatar Pro Wireless, is that the entire shell was plastic, and I guess the Glorious model or Model D and Model O are plastic as well, but it just felt super cheap, especially in the sides. What Razer was able to do is they actually have rubber on both sides of the mouse. So you have this very comfortable feel. And again, being only 74 grams with the rubber on both sides is very impressive to me. So it's a very lightweight mouse. I can't get over how light it is. And again, when you go wireless, you expect to be a little bit heavier, but 74 grams is extremely light. This is going to be a mouse that's going to glide across your mouse pad very easily. It's again, for somebody like me, who's, I basically prefer lightweight mice now, it wasn't like a big change for me. And then that's kind of like the big thing. Another cool thing looks like
a pretty standard button configuration, just your two thumb buttons. Is that right?
Yeah. So
are there buttons on the other side as well though?
Yeah. So it's truly ambidextrous, meaning that, it has the same overall shape and design on each side. So some mice are called ambidextrous, but they only have side buttons on one side. On this, you have two side buttons on one side, two side buttons on the other side. So you can use this right or left-handed. You can actually configure it in the software. You can tell the software that you're using it right or left-handed as well. So you can do that. So truly ambidextrous. Another cool thing is that it does have optical switches. So we've talked about optical switches when it comes to keyboard. Basically, it's like having a laser beam, and then when you actuate the switch, it goes across that laser beam and actuates the click on the mouse, just like you would in a keyboard. They're more accurate. The travel time is shorter. There's no debounce on that. So this is a mouse that has those switches in it now. So now we're going, like, you know, companies are bringing that into their mice, make them more accurate and to make them faster. So this has 0.2 millisecond response time on these. And they're rated for longer than, say, a mechanical switch would be. So you have that there too. You have their Focus Plus optical sensor, 20,000 DPI sensor, has a tracking speed of 65 IPS and a 99.6% resolution accuracy. And then on the bottom of the mouse, you see these little contacts right here. Mm-hmm. And that's actually how the mouse charges. So typically with mice, you have a USB, and you do have a USB. There is a small little micro USB right here. But these little contacts are made for the included base. So you get this cool little included base, which actually allows you to display the mouse, which if I go to the next page, I can show you. But it allows you to, or actually you can see it up there as well, but it allows you to actually kind of like display the mouse, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
And it charges it all in the same. So the stand comes with the USB cable. You connect that, and then actually on the stand is a USB port as well. So you plug in your receiver there. So your receiver is actually technically closer to the mouse too. A lot of times you have to plug in your receiver into your tower, which is slightly farther away. Obviously being Razer, it has some RGB lighting. What's cool about the RGB lighting is that while you're charging, it lets you know your charging level. So different colors mean, you know, red would mean like, I think it's like 0 to 20%, and then it goes to yellow and then the green when you're fully charged. So it's just a cool, thing. Cool. And again, it's something cool to display your mouse. It makes it part of your setup, more part of your setup. And you do get the Razer logo here that does light up. You can turn that off to conserve battery. I think it says 70 hours of battery life though, so you really shouldn't have to worry about it. And because it's so easy to charge, like a lot of times you have a cable, you like, I have to plug it in, set it. It's like having a wireless charger.
Is there like a magnet or anything that kind of snaps it into place?
Yeah, it's kind of like a magnet. It's not a super strong magnet because I think that would add more weight to the mouse per se, but it goes on there easily. I didn't have any issues with that. It's just, like I said, it's everything on this is just done so well and just seamless. It works really well. Obviously, you can use this mouse out of the gate. You don't have to install any software, but if you want to, you have Razer Synapse software, which I think is one of the better ones out there. A lot of people don't like it, but it's very easy to use. You can fully reprogram every button on the mouse. No issues there. As you can see, you can, left-handed or right-handed, you can select that. With all the buttons, you can do a bunch of different stuff. You can do macros. You can do, you know, it does support Razor Hypershift as well, which gives you a whole new set of buttons. Basically, you can do Windows controls, multimedia controls, all that kind of stuff you can do. So it's basically fully programmable. You can set, there's five different DPI levels. You can set them all yourself. If you only want, like, you can, there's a maximum of five, but you can actually cut it down to one or three if you didn't want to scroll through bunch of, yeah, so you can change that. You can set your brightness and your RGB effects, all that kind of stuff. You can set the timer of when the lighting turns off, and you can set it so when the lighting will turn off when you say you turn your monitor off, it will just turn the lighting of the mouse off as well. It's pretty cool. You can obviously calibrate the mouse to your surface, which is something I always recommend. If your software does it, make sure you do that. And then you can set power saving modes and low power modes and all that kind of stuff. Like I said, it just, everything with this mouse just worked perfectly. I like the way it feels. If you are like a serious gamer, this is something that a mouse that I could recommend. It's not often you would recommend a wireless mouse, but it just feels so good. It glides so well. It's very, very comfortable, which I liked. It is, again, very, very light. Everything about this mouse, I didn't find a single thing wrong with this mouse, which is, it's hard for me to not find something.
10 out of 10,
it
nice.
Is, yeah, 10 out of 10 and recommended award. It is $129.99. But I do feel that you are getting your money's worth. A lot of times we say products have that Razer tax or that Corsair tax. This does, but $129.99, I think that you're getting a wireless mouse that's incredibly, super light, super comfortable. Not only that, you're getting a charging dock with it that allows you to easily charge it. It does come with its own dongle, so it's not like Bluetooth or anything like that. The software works. It's an all encompassing package. And I think it was actually just on sale the other day for, I think, $79 on Amazon, but it's gone up. Obviously it was just like a daily deal. Even if you pay $129, I would gladly pay $129 for it. It's really good. It's a mouse that you're going to use for I was using it as my daily mouse for like an entire week. I only switched back to this just because I'm moving and I'm just getting stuff out of the way. You know what I mean? But probably when I move, it'll probably be my main mouse. Cause again, wires and wireless is just nice to have. So definitely check out this review. If you are thinking about moving from a wire to a wireless mouse, this is one that I would highly recommend. Or if you already have a wireless mouse and you're looking for something that is just lighter, more geared towards actual gaming, where a lot of wireless mice aren't, you know, you're gonna find a better deal. It's more geared towards actual gamers, which I like, considering they're calling it a gaming mouse, obviously. So go ahead and check that one out. And then next we have a very, very interesting product. This company reached out a couple months ago and I was intrigued. I was intrigued by the designs and the company name and how they're designing their products. And I do feel that like every few years we have a newcomer into the PC space, whether it's in this case, it's cooling, but we have case manufacturers that come in. We have, you know, a bunch of them. We always have like every few years, we have somebody new coming into the game, and some of them last and some of them don't.
Yep.
So this company is called Iceberg Thermal, and they sent us a bunch of products. This is the first one that we're reviewing. But this is their Ice Sleet X7 Dual. And all of their products are like named after ice or have ice in the title, or that's kind of what they're going for. Obviously being a cooling company.
Sure.
That's kind of what their whole gist is. This cooler is a dual tower cooler. The more interesting thing about it, let's go to the pictures, because it is very, it's kind of designed to look like a piece of ice, I would say. I mean, I don't know what you want to call that.
I don't know, just very angular. It's like if if Iceberg and all that wasn't in their name, it's almost like a gem. You know, it's very similar to the look and design of some like the G-Skill Trident Z, the Royal stuff.
Yeah, a little bit.
It just has that, I don't know, fractal design. Not fractal design. Anyhow, angular
look. Yeah, it. Very angular
very cool. design.
It's kind of like what like you were right. In fact, like on their Meshify cases.
Sure,
the
front. Yep.
And basically all that is a plastic shell. I mean, that's what it is. Yep. Am I a fan of it? I would be more of a fan of it if it didn't have, like, just for me, like the lines so you can see the pieces, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the things I just don't like. If this was a single finish, piece, isn't
awesome. But at the same time, like, do you see that when it's installed?
Well, yeah, because you're gonna see. I mean, you're
I guess a little bit. It. That's true. On the top, it's there. Yeah.
It's. Again, I understand, and the reason why it's in pieces is because you actually have to take it. You take the sides off, and then you pull the middle out, and that's the middle fan, and that's actually how you'll go to install this as well. And another thing about it is, again, yes, you have this kind of teal color, right? But if you're trying to match this, there's no cases that I know of that are teal. No. There's also no motherboards or other components that are this color. So it's kind of going to stick out, you know, opposed to something that's white, blue, red, the more common colors that you see on these type of products. It is going to stick out. That's just kind of where that kind of leads. But it is, like I said, it's a pretty big cooler. As you can see, dual heatsink towers, dual fans. The front fan is a 120. The middle fan is a 140. The front fan is RGB. You can see the heat sinks there. Like I said, 8 or 7 heat pipes, which is a lot. They're 6 millimeter thick heat pipes. You can see there's, you know, just there's a lot of them. pretty nice mirror finish on the actual CPU block or the base of the cooler. Installation of this is decently easy. It's like most coolers we do with AM4. You keep your AM4 backplate and then you install their mounting bars and then you mount everything. The problem is that one, you have to take apart the cooler. Two, it is pretty big cooler, so this is going to be one that you're more than likely going to have to install outside your case. It's just big. And again, we see that with the big Noctuas, the NHD15s, you know, you're going to have to install it outside of your case, which can be a pain. Secondly, when you're putting that middle fan back in, there is RGB on the top of the cooler as well. So you have to find this little connection and then connect that. And if you're inside of a case, that can be a little troublesome as well. You put everything back together, you put the sides on, and it will overhang your memory as well, at least on a B550 motherboard. It is going to overhang your memory. So keep that in mind. It doesn't interfere with this memory, which is this is pretty standard size memory, but if you have memory with larger heat spreaders, that could be an issue as well. And you can see just how, I mean,
it's huge. I mean, I saw it sitting behind you and it's enormous.
it's a very, very big cooler. So it is rather close to our graphics card. Not super close, but it is rather close, I would say. Closer than more coolers. You can kind of see that there. So it's, like I said, it's rather close. RGB lighting is nice. It doesn't come with a controller. It's a 3-pin ARGB. They also do not include the cables for... Who has the weird connection? MSI, I believe their boards. Their ARGB header is proprietary, and they don't include the connections for it like most other, like we saw on the Deepcool. They included that cable. It's not included here, but it's a standard ARGB header, 3-pin, so you can connect it to your motherboard, which we did. The lighting looks good. The top, you know, lights up as well. Cool. Yeah, it's cool looking cooler. Coming down to performance, we just redid our test bench, so we only have 3 total coolers. And it's the best performing cooler, which I kind of expected it to be because it's dual tower, dual fan, just a, it's a big boy. But if you look at our low temperatures, it is a little concerning because it's basically a degree better than the Deepcool AS500. And the Deepcool AS500 is single tower, single fan. It's also easier to install. It also is far more quiet. If you look at our load sound levels, I mean,
yeah, it's a pretty big jump.
Yeah, it's only like a decibel quieter than the default AMD cooler. So I, like I said, they have a lot to work on. It's not a bad cooler when it comes to cooling, but for what it is, I think that it should have performed a lot better in the testing. I don't want to, this is like their first round of products. I understand that, but for how big it is, how cumbersome it is to install, because that's the trade-off, right? If it's hard to install, it's huge, but you get this amazing performance. It's worth that.
Sure, yeah.
It's worth that harder install or having to remove your motherboard from your case if you already have a build or whatever. But with this, it doesn't have that amazing performance. You know what I mean? Again, only a degree better than a cooler that is single tower, single fan. So that's kind of where that goes. And then it's priced at $94.99, which puts it at the same level as a Noctua. It doesn't have the performance of the Noctua. That Deepcool AS500 that I keep on talking about, that was $59.99 and was only a degree worse than our load test. So again, easier to install. It's just, it's not there yet. I like the idea. I like that they're trying to be different. There are a lot of things that I would change. Mainly, again, this, there's a couple things. One, I'd make this a single piece that you could pull off so you don't have these lines. So you don't have the lines in there. I would also, again, this blue is kind of like the color that they're going for, like with all their products are this blue. How cool would it be if this was like a opaque white,
yeah, and like then frosted, you have, white?
Yeah, frosted white, and then you would have the RGB going through it.
Yeah,
be a lot easier. And again, if that was a single piece, you would just pull the single piece up instead of having two sides and then having to do all that other stuff. Again, it's their first round of products, so I didn't hit them that hard, but I did give them a 7 out of 10 because there are better options that have
and from names that we like. Have heard of and have a history too, right? Being new is kind of rough, and coming in at that higher price point, you gotta hit pretty hard on your performance. Yeah.
And again, it doesn't come like we saw with the Deepcool. The Deepcool did come with the RGB controller. This does not. That's not a big deal to a lot of people, but again, that's an added value that you're getting with that cooler. Just like you said, you know, the other big names that are in that $100 price range, I didn't test this against a Noctua, but I have tested Noctuas, and this is, you know, and again, this is harder to install than the Noctua as well. So like I said, a good first entry, something that's going to catch some attention. It will do well as a cooler. It's just not the best. It's not the quietest. There are better options out there for the price. So that's kind of where
I think that's
where
fair.
Yeah, I try to be as fair as I could with this one. And again, I know they're a new company, but you just have better options out there in that price range. So just keep that in mind. But check out the review; it's a cool product. We have another cooler from them. They sent over some of their thermal paste and stuff just to like try, not even to review. So we have some cool stuff from them. So definitely stay tuned for that.
But I'm excited for their thermal spreader, their paste thing that they have. Is that what they sent over?
They sent the little thermal pad deal. Oh. I always want to try one of those. I was going to get one of those to use like for the test benches, but then I heard all the bad reviews that they don't stay in place when you're putting your CPU cooler on and all that stuff. Man. Like the thermal Grizzly ones I was going to buy. And then I was reading the reviews and everybody's like, yeah, they don't stay in place. Like it's so annoying. I was like, I just buy a big tub of thermal paste and be done with it. So, moving over to Case Mod Friday, of course, that's where we feature a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this one is pretty cool. I love the colors. I would say the colors are Cyberpunk 2077 colors. This one's called RGB over everything. That's the name of the build. It's done in, of course, the new standard when it comes to mods is the Lian Li PC011 dynamic. This is the XL version. Excellent case. I think once I get settled in a new place, like I might be buying one of these and doing some
think? Kind of build.
I like the case. I really do. There's something about Lian Li.
I love this build. Like everything looks so shiny and like the tubing and everything just looks so polished in it. It's a very good choice of components.
And again,
I think the lighting colors make it look really
This is not hard tubing, which is
Are you sure? Yeah, it is.
But if you look at this picture, like look at this picture. Does that?
Oh, those are just bends. Yeah.
Okay.
You're not going to get that kind of transparency and reflection.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, look at the transparency, the reflections. It's just like the colors. I think it's one that caught my attention was just like the colors of this. It was just like they are kind of like the cyberpunky colors, with the yellow and the blue, and it just works. Again, this case is just so good.
The fact that there's the distribution plates from a bunch of manufacturers for it make all the lines look so good.
And you can buy the case with the distro plates now. Mm-hmm. I think EK made one. Yeah, EK has one, almost all the companies actually make distro plates for this case because it's that popular. It's just everything. Yeah, everything about this is just so good. It's
I wish they would have taken off that leak testing sticker.
That's
pretty sweet.
It's a cool build, so definitely go ahead and check this out. We have a full section of Case Mod Friday builds if you guys want to check them out. They're on the site. We've been doing it for a very long time, so if you want to see what you can do with PC parts or get some inspiration, go ahead and check that out. And then moving on to giveaways, our weekly Bob's Moving giveaway is still going on. Last week we had the Cooler Master MH630. This week we have a portable SSD. We have the Lexar SL200, which I reviewed a while back. You can't go wrong with portable SSDs. Like, nope. You just can't. They make life easier. They're insanely hard to break. And once you get one, it's going to go with you everywhere. So it's going to live in your laptop bag, or you're always going to have it with you. I use them daily. I use them as editing drives, actually. So if I have all my Adobe Premiere files on the drive, so I can edit it here. I can edit on my main PC super fast. But then if I'm traveling or I'm somewhere where I have my laptop, I can still have that super fast speed. This is super easy to enter, just like all of our contests. Do it through Gleam. You just put all your info in here, and there's a bunch of different ways you can enter. If you tweet about the contest, you can enter. If you share it with your friends, I believe you get an entry for every person that you refer. I'm pretty sure that's how that works. It's only a week. Like all the moving giveaway giveaways, they're all a week. So we're doing this really quick because
I have a lot of stuff to give away.
Yeah, I have a lot of stuff to give away, so I'm excited. And just last week, the first batch, the first 4 weeks of stuff I sent out, so everybody's been getting their stuff and they're real pumped. So get your entry in for that. And that brings us to news. And not a whole lot going on, but some sad things and some cool things and some weird things. But first, we'll start with something that makes me upset. Because again, we talked about this with the 3060.
Yep.
Rumors are that NVIDIA is going to put a hash rate or cryptocurrency mining limiter on their RTX 3080 Ti. As I said when we were talking about our 3060 review, is that I like the idea of NVIDIA doing this for the fact that it frees up cards for people who are not specifically buying the card for mining. It allows more cards to come for miners. But as a, I don't know what you want to call me, just like a, if it's mine, I can do whatever I want with it type person. Yeah. I don't like any company telling me I can't, if the card has the power to do something, I don't like the idea of the company telling me that I can't do it. Yep. Right. Yep. The 3080 Ti is, of course, hopefully going to sit in that sweet spot around $1,000. It's going to sit in between the 3080 and 3090. And it's a card that I think a lot of people would want. I still don't, you probably won't be able, just like in any NVIDIA card right now, you're not gonna be able to buy it. So I just I don't know. Like I said, I don't know where you sit on the limiter. I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm in the middle because I agree, right? Like if it's mine, I should be able to do essentially what I want with it, as long as whatever I'm doing isn't illegal or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I'm a gamer and a PC enthusiast that wants to use it for its intended purpose and can't do that because, you know, they're impossible to get. So I see both sides. So I think over in general, like, yeah, you should be able to do whatever you want with one if you have them. So, yeah, no, I mean, I could see this coming, of course. And yeah, when they're offering their own mining cards coming out, right, of course they're gonna probably implement something here with this, with these
cards. And I think that has a lot to do with it as well. Mm-hmm. Right, because they want those mining cards to actually sell, and that's how they get those to sell instead of miners buying these cards. But I still think miners will buy these cards, as sure. H in the chat, he said, but miners will just mine other coins anyway. And yeah, that's the interesting thing. So at least on the 2060, It the hash rate limiter is for Ethereum only. It's not for any, so I even tested it with NiceHash. Like, you can still mine with the 26 or the 3060s. You just can't, it's not going to be effective in Ethereum, but other altcoins and other coins that you can do it, it's still pretty effective. So it doesn't really stop that. I can't imagine that NVIDIA is going to just keep on, you know, oh, on this one, we're blocking, you know, this many cryptos. Like, mm-hmm. I would hope, you know, again, I'm just not a fan of it. It just, as much as I want more cards to get in the hands of gamers, I'm not a fan of you saying I can't do what the card can do. So yeah,
I agree.
That's how I feel about it. Moving on to an RTX 3070. So we saw the same guy. Do you remember? This is the same person that modded the 2070 to have 16 gigabytes of VRAM. He upgraded a 3070 to have 16 gigabytes of VRAM. So this is VIK on, or Vic on YouTube. He has a whole video. This guy must like have the most intricate, like, look at this, like, you know, putting the the wafer or whatever, the memory chips, mm-hmm. down and do it. Like, I would just be moving line, all of, like,
how do you line them, yeah, up just right?
Yeah.
With, I don't, some tweezers and a heat blower.
Yeah, it would be all sideways. Like, you'd look at it and be like, yeah, this guy, I'm just not good with like little intricate things like that. It's just like not.
Well, and when you see the machines that put these things together and how precise, you know, they are and everything.
Yeah.
I remember when Asus moved over to their, like, essentially no humans touch the components, you know, like everything is automated and done by a robot or machine of some sort.
So I went to the PC Partner Factory, in China years ago, and humans don't put these chips on.
No,
that's all done by computer.
Exactly.
But the through the line, we actually have a video on our YouTube channel if you guys want to, it's called how graphics cards are made. But they put on other things that humans cannot mess yeah, up and put on, and they fasten the rear IO shield on,
yeah,
there,
little and, screws and stuff, right? I get that, but yeah, like, yeah, you just know how precise those other processes are, and then this guy's here with his tweezers and a heat gun, so it's kind of funny.
And the big thing with Asus is they went fully automated, so even the rear IO shield and the cooler and everything, that's all put on by a machine, which is pretty impressive, mm-hmm. actually. But yeah, he had to change all these little thingies, and you know, pretty cool. He had to update,
and it worked.
Yeah, it worked. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Again, we talked about this last time when we featured the same person who did it to the 2070. Like, we don't see stuff like this anymore. One, because it's incredibly hard. But it's just cool to see different things, because as manufacturers have gotten smarter, just like, you know, what was it, like the 9700 and 9800, like you could flash the BIOS, which is something most people can do.
Yeah,
like they've locked all that stuff out. You used to be, and that would unlock. So the CPUs or the GPUs would have so many cores, or, you know, so many streaming processor units, and they would just like leave them intact and disable them with the BIOS. Now what they do is they actually crush those, like they physically disable those cores so you can't re-enable them, which is crappy, but that's what they had to do, because so many people were just flat, instead of buying a card that's like 100, they would buy the cheap one and then just flash the BIOS and then boom. But those fun days are over. But yeah, so like I said, it's cool to see. We have the link to the video if you want to check it out, but very precise, very cool, and just, yeah, very, very interesting, I think. So yeah. I can never do it. No way in hell I could do it. No. I don't think you could do it either. Maybe I wouldn't want to.
You're too scared to even do a water cooling build, so.
Yeah.
There's no way you're taking off ICs and putting them back on. So.
No. Not unless my like life depended on it. And like yeah, and even then I'd be like, oh, just throw me off the building. I'll be all right. So talking about mobile GPUs, we obviously have seen the mobile RTX 30 series mobile. We did see mobile from AMD. They called it their 5000 series, obviously. And there was only like three laptops ever that had the 5000 series. So this next round, it was just like very quick and yeah. So the RX 6000 series laptop GPUs are coming soon. There's no details on what models, but we would expect like an Alienware, an MSI, an Asus, you know. They said that they're coming soon. I don't know what that means. I don't know how many will be available, but hopefully if you are an AMD fan or you would rather have, especially with AMD mobile CPUs, you want just AMD and AMD. Mm-hmm. Hopefully these will be coming soon. It'd be nice to see that more than a couple SKUs total throughout the entire industry will have these, I think, with their performance. And I assume a lot of these companies could do a deal where, yeah, we'll put your CPU and GPU together, get a better deal, blah, blah, blah. You know,
what it looks like from that image below there, where they've got it kind of squared off in yellow, it's the performance is going to be between kind of that middle point between console performance and a, you know, add-in card on a PC. So that's nice to see that they are still going to outperform the consoles, because a lot of times those integrated graphics.
Graphic might just be okay, like we're powering the PS5, we're powering the Xbox, we're going to power your mobile. Here are desktop cards. But again, you could be right as well. So I don't.
Yeah.
It could be. It could be either or.
Either or.
So, yeah. So I'm excited. I'd like to see that, and I'd like to see again. I always like it when people have choice, right? Mm-hmm. If I want a new gaming laptop, I mean, for the most part, if you want one that you can actually game on, it's always been NVIDIA. AMD really hasn't been competitive in that space at all. Just like I said, there was only like three models total with last gen AMD graphics. So having new, you know, again, go to Best Buy and be like, okay, Alienware, what is it? The Area 51M. Like, okay, here's one that's Intel NVIDIA, and here's one that's AMD and AMD, or, you know, or either or whatever. I have the choice. That's always good for me as a consumer. And it makes things competitive. So you can have, you know, their better pricing, or you know, hopefully better pricing. So, and it could be like we saw that story with all those RTX 30 laptops used for crypto mining. You can see that with these AMD ones as well. So we'll see if any of those stories pop up here. And then, you know, whenever those come available, Also pretty interesting, this is well, you're not using a AMD graphics card, but if you were, because you're on the Ryzen 3000 series, right? AMD is enabling smart access memory on a Ryzen 3000 processor. So this initially was only going to be Ryzen 5000 series. They're going to make it available for Ryzen 3000 series processors. Companies are going to be, I think MSI did it already, but a couple, you know, they're going to just issue you a new BIOS that allows this. So if you do have a AMD CPU and an AMD GPU, you can take advantage of the smart access memory. It's a win-win. It's good to, again, I like this, but again, this should have been enabled from the beginning, right?
I mean, yeah, it's a selling feature, right? So, hey, we're going to limit it to being on our newest stuff, but hey, we've unlocked it now for older stuff. I don't have a problem with this.
The feature is specific to PCI Express. That's the feature. Mm-hmm. The feature is not an AMD, because NVIDIA has the same feature. Right. It's a PCI Express feature. So again, I like to be a little critical, but again, it's good to see it. We like to see it, and we like to see it down the product stack, right? So if you didn't upgrade to 5000 series from 3000 series, which I don't think you should have, really, I mean, you could have, but you shouldn't have. You know, it's good to see that you'll get this as well. This is one of the things that you only thought you're going to get on 5000 series. Now you're going to get it on 3000 series. So, check your motherboard manufacturer. Check with your motherboard manufacturer. See if they have a new BIOS update. Install a BIOS update and you're good to go.
Cool.
So, that is a very cool. What else do we have? Intel Core i9 11900K gaming performance. And this is what we saw. Do you remember when I reviewed the 5000 series from AMD? I said all you had to do, if you just slotted in a new 5000 series, and you got like this jump in performance, right? You got this instant jump in performance in gaming. And that's what AMD really wanted to do with 5000 series. This is an interesting graph that somebody leaked. I assume it's from the press deck. Bring it up here. So this is from Intel. I assume this is from like an Intel press deck. Could be wrong. But this is showing a Core i9 11900K versus a Core i9 10900K. And the performance difference, I assume this is just by slotting in a new processor. So like 13% performance on Total War Three Kingdoms, 9% performance Gears 5, 8% performance in Grid, 14% performance in Microsoft Flight Simulator. That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good jump. Yeah, I like that. No, I think that'd be pretty sweet. Those are all look like they're 1080p.
Yeah, 1080p
increases. So,
yeah, it's just, I'm really interested. I don't know if we're getting one to review, but I'm really interested to see what Intel's doing. This is, hopefully, we would think this is their last hurrah into at 14 nanometer, right? But to see what they're able to do, see how closely, and again, they kind of like, this should be out, right? But we're getting more delays and not sure why, because all the boards are available. Not available, but they've all been announced, that they were announced at CES in January. So maybe, again, like this could all, a lot of this could be software, right? This could be Intel working with the creators of Total War,
to the game. Yep.
Yeah, in a very, very good driver, whatever. We see this a lot. So that could be what, and that's maybe the time thing that they're doing. I don't know. But again, the time thing could also be COVID. It could also be we've talked about it last week, but like when these tariffs might get taken away. Like there could be a lot of logistical things too. I could just be making this, not making it up, but it just could be all in my head that's the reason as well. So
things were not privy to affecting.
Yeah, so that's kind of exciting. If you were looking for an upgrade, and again, I think most people, if you're on the 10 series, I don't think you're looking to upgrade to the 11 series. No. But if you're back a little bit, possibly could be upgrading. But again, we always talk about if this is the last hurrah on 14 nanometer, or we've gone to 10. Are you going to go to 12? You go to 10? You go to 7? What's the next
whatever down? You move to? It's probably going to be a pretty good jump in performance, I would think.
Yeah. So what? Yeah. We'll see. Hopefully we'll get one into review and we'll let you guys know what the deal is. We have some Apple stories. I know, again, we're not crazy.
It's fine.
We're not crazy into Apple. I know most of our listeners not, but got some info on the Mac Pro. The Mac Pro is the most overpriced PC. I guess it's the most overpriced. I assume there's like custom built PCs, but
sure.
this is basically the most overpriced professional PC that you can buy. So new info on the new Mac Pro 2022 edition. They're going to have 32, 48, and 64 core versions. I assume these are going to be Apple powered chips.
Yeah, I would think so.
So the the 32 core model is going to start at $5,499. The 32 core or the 48 core will be basically $12,000. I even say $12,000. And the 64 core version will be $19,000. Oh, wait. Yeah. What? Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It says, yeah. No, it's not that. Those are the prices. If you remember, I think this is the 2019,
the older version. Yeah,
when did this one come out? 2019, the Cheese Grater. I'm pretty sure it was 2019.
Yeah, I think so.
Like the most expensive configuration was like $32,000 or something crazy. Yeah. This display was just the stand for this display was $1,000.
Yeah, $1,000, and the display was like
$1,000.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. So,
and then if you wanted wheels for it, they were like $800, I think.
Yeah.
$700 or $800.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Excited. I'm honestly really excited to see I assume these CPUs are going to be Apple CPUs. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm most interested in because, again, I am a fan of the M1 processor. I don't think I'd ever get a Mac or a Mac Pro, but what Apple was able to do with that.
I don't really pay attention too much to Apple stuff, but you know, their bread and butter, at least in my opinion, has been with the creative world and, you know, Adobe, for example, Photoshop, mm-hmm. and all these other applications. How has that M1 been performing in applications that Apple doesn't essentially own, like Photoshop and has it been doing pretty well? Or
I know a lot of creators that create on Mac and they use mm-hmm. Premiere and Photoshop and things like that. So I assume it's good. I assume just the raw performance over the Intel part was justified. Just enough. And with that raw performance, even without optimization, is really good. And I assume because again, Adobe is massive for Mac users and like all users, even Windows users.
And I'm sure they worked with them, right?
They're going to work with them. And again, over time, I have a Creative Cloud, like my apps get updated all the time.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah, so I assume it's pretty good. Yeah, like I'm more interested in like their processors, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because they used Intel Xeon processors before, which again, were pretty powerful, but not... If Apple can really bring it with these high core, their own processors, I mean, that's something, especially in like the Mac Pro world where these are most of these like design studios buying these, you know, paying $30,000-$40,000 for these things, like just to see what they can do. And maybe even, I mean, probably not, but them building their own chip for this would bring the price down maybe a little bit over the Intel part, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the one Apple story. Secondly,
we got two Apple stories.
Yeah, right. Talking about price. So we talked about Apple's AR headset that's supposed to come out in 2022. People were saying, $2,500, like what it may be. New story came out that it's going to be around $1,000. I guess that makes more sense. They're the tentative name. Or wait, that AR headset is 2022, and then they have smart glasses apparently that are coming out in 2025. I would like to see another good smart glass implementation. The Google Glass was really cool at the time. It was very breakthrough at the time. Yeah. Didn't you? Did you have them?
No, I wanted to. I wanted to get them, but no, I did not. Yeah. Never pay for them.
Yeah, because originally this AR headset was supposed to be $3,000. Now let's say it's going to be $1,000. I think for people in the Apple ecosystem, that's a normal better. I mean, it's obviously a better price, but for $1,000. I mean, what's like a high end? I mean, it's not a VR headset. It's an AR headset.
AR.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the real applications of this are. So.
Yeah, I still don't know if VR and AR are here to stay or not. We just haven't seen that product where it like totally takes the world by storm, right? I thought that the Vive was going to like kick that off.
Yeah.
And there's still a lot of great applications for them, and they've stuck around pretty well, but there's just hasn't been that thing where everybody's like got to get them, right? Like when the Nintendo Wii came out, like everybody had them. You know, they were in everybody's house. Your grandpa and grandma had them, and they could do Wii Fit, and they could bowl, and nurse, you know, like all these retirement places had them.
Yeah.
They were just everywhere.
If there is a company that can do it,
Apple.
Well, I mean, just think about it. I mean, before the iPhone, there were smartphones. Sure.
Yeah.
There were tons of smartphones, but nobody bought these smartphones because the user experience was bad.
Like a Palm Trio or whatever they were.
Yeah. And like the setup was hard. If they could make this something that's easier to get into, because again, like I don't know how easy it is to set up a Vive or a Oculus. It's probably easier now, but it's still a process.
It's a process, yeah.
You know, for the normal everyday person, right? So if somebody could do it, it would be Apple. But again, Apple's innovation has gone down for a while, per se. So we'll see. But I'm interested to see it. I love new tech, even if it's not tech I'm going to use. I like seeing it. Also, being just like with anything we talked about, those graphics cards as well, like somebody entering the space, making it more competitive is always better for the consumer. Not only does it affect pricing across the board, but it also makes it so other companies innovate. So hopefully we'll see that, even though it's like I said, it's not really related to us here at Think Computers, but it's cool to see. And if they do have that glass, whatever that, however that would be, or however that would look, I would be interested in seeing what that's about. It's just cool to have something that you always have on you, and you can, I assume by that time, this 2025, you could see like live whatever, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Future.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'd be, you know, we're just going to get you just get like a, not an implant, but
some sort of contact or
contact lens that just displays stuff, you know, on your, so you can see it like, oh, I'm walking by this. Oh, how much is it? Okay. You know?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. That'd be cool. But
we think we want it. I don't know.
Yeah. That's too. And then you like, oh, it has to be permanent. Then they just like, oh, there's ads. They're just like, you're just walking by. And then like, oh no, like I can't turn them off. Oh yeah. You know, you signed that user agreement when you got it installed, right? You don't remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that being a thing. So So talking about what we have coming up next week, exciting week. First, I can't tell you that much about it, but we have a new Corsair keyboard coming out next week.
Hey.
All I can say is that it's something Corsair's never done before. That's all I can say.
That gives me an idea.
Yeah, it gives you an idea. It gives you an idea. It's something Corsair's never done before. So that is exciting. And then secondly, I will have my hands on a RX 6700 XT, which was announced last week, but it's not available. These aren't available yet, obviously. So we're taking a look at MSI's Radeon RX 6700 XT Gaming X 12G. It has their dual cooling design. Nice looking card. And I think this is their highest end card on their 6700 series as well. So yeah, I'm excited to take a look at, both of those products. So, as we come here to the end, we always talk about cool things or tech things or anything that we've done lately? Have you watched anything, done anything?
Just trying to wrap up this video for this system here.
Yeah, we've been highly anticipating it.
I know. I'm trying to use my DJI Osmo Action a little bit. I used a little more this last weekend. That's about it. Just kind of camera stuff. Just farting around. Been too busy otherwise.
Yeah,
you've been busy. Lots of reviews and
lots of reviews coming. Lots of stuff.
Move prep. Yeah,
I got to start getting ready to pack, which I'm just not break all this stuff down behind me, put it on boxes, just the whole nine yards. It's just going to be a very, very this next month. So I'm moving technically a month from today is like the day we move. The next month is just going to be very, very busy with, we have launches, we have other stuff. I have a bunch of videos I've shot, like a bunch of stuff I've shot B-roll for that I have to shoot the A-roll before I leave, and it's going to be crazy. But beyond that, I did, like I said, I said I watched Coming to America.
Yep. Meh.
There's a Notorious B.I.G. new documentary on Netflix, if you're a fan of hip-hop.
I guess I'll talk about that.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I watched that. I'm still watching the show The 100. Still pretty good. Okay. I think I'm on season... maybe. So that's like the show I watch before I go to bed. I haven't really gotten into anything else. I've seen there's a bunch of new shows on Netflix I just haven't had. I just don't want to have the time to
get. Like you went to a hockey game this week?
Oh, yeah. So that's something that's, you know, with everything that's going on, like live sports. So on my list of things to do before I left or was going to leave Pittsburgh was I'm a hockey fan. I wanted to see the Penguins play in person, obviously, before I left. That was like number one thing to do. And just this past week, they opened. So everything was closed, like hockey games. I mean, I'm sure you guys know, like all sports, they're just playing in front of nobody. Here in Pennsylvania or in Pittsburgh, they opened it. I think it was either like 15 or 25% capacity, whatever it was. So I went to the second game. Like they had two, you know, the first game I didn't get, but then my buddy texted me, he's like, "You want to go?" And I was like, "Yeah, I don't care how much tickets are. Let's go." It was fun to be at a live sporting event again. It's something like the 1 year anniversary of the like
first case.
Yeah, or something, of like the shutdown, and all that stuff. It was that's like this week, or when it was this week, or whatever it is. And it's just like it gave you a somewhat sense of normalcy. I mean, you still had to wear your mask while you were there and all that, but it gave you, in like you were spaced out from people, obviously, because it was like I said, 10 or 15% capacity, or whatever, but it gave you a sense of normalcy. And like, I know that us as computer guys, and I'm sure you guys listening, it's like you're used to being inside on your computer, but there are times like just getting that sense of normalcy back is like a good thing. So it was a lot of fun, and the Penguins lost, but it was still a good game to watch, and it was like I said, it was fun. So
cool.
Maybe I'm gonna possibly try to go to one more before I leave, but we'll see. We shall see. So just how busy I am and everything like that. We are of course going to jump over to Twitch, twitch.tv/syncomputers. Ryan will get the stream up here shortly, and we'll be playing some Apex. Ryan said there's some new thing.
Map changes, I haven't really looked into it too much. Caustic took over the water treatment plant, did some stuff there, and I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, so catch us over there. Of course, we're going to probably stream for a couple hours, depending on how late we stay up. So again, thanks everybody for tuning in. We definitely appreciate it. And we'll go ahead.